C1G. Number 22A.
We come now to the 3,000-year period corresponding to the third day of creation. And we have seen that third day of creation has two main points, namely that the dry land appears, or in other terms, that everything becomes definite in creation and can be identified, must be identified properly. And the second big idea is that soul has the seed within itself and can reproduce itself. Now, in the 3,000-year period, which runs from 2000 BC to 1000 BC, we have actually a terrific picture of true identification with the seed within itself. It is a long period where everything is named and defined divinely, where we see a great reformation of soul taking place. All these figures that appear in this period, the great Jewish figures, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and so on, they all had to do with true identification. And another aspect is that we see these patriarchs constantly wandering through the wilderness, indicating really that from a human standpoint, we go the way from sense to soul in order to undergo that transformation, that we have to find our true identity, that we don't find our true identity just from one day to the other, that it takes a great struggle through the wilderness experience, and only in that way we finally get into the promised land that was promised right from the beginning to Abraham, but it took 1,000 years for that promise that Abraham had received to substantiate itself and to realize itself. In that wilderness period, where we know that wilderness actually means in the glossary the vestibule in which a material sense of things disappears. Can you hear? The counterfeit of soul disappears, and spiritual sense, soul sense, unfolds the great facts of existence. So all those stories that we find now here in the tribal history of the Jewish people are indicating that wilderness experience, where they are driving towards the promised, towards the realization of their promise, with lot of perseverance, always sticking to that promise, never giving in, no matter what the difficulties were, if they were going down to Egypt, if it was the Red Sea, whatever the difficulty were, they were going forward and forward, persevering, never to go back, never to give in. We have those wonderful qualities of soul here presented, as you have them also in the third subject of Atonement and Eucharist in the textbook. It is also this period of soul where you have to handle the opposite of soul, not only sin per se, but all the animal magnetism and the malicious animal magnetism, as they had to do from step to step. Therefore, this period is a most instructive period, really, for teaching us how we find our true identity, how we go undergo a reformation and a transformation, what difficulties we encounter in that way of transformation, how we can overcome these difficulties, so as finally we come out at the end and can possess the promised land. The dry land appears. This is terrific story, and so we just want to go through the subtones of soul, through the five subtones, and see how that story develops. And I think we can see quite easily how those subtones are supporting the main tone and give us an indication for our steps to take in order to undergo that reformation. At the beginning we have soul as mind. It is the story of Abram going out from the land of Ur in Chaldea. He gets away from the land of Chaldea, which was a symbol for necromancy, for astrology. He wanted to find his true identity, not the counterfeit of soul, but the true sense of being. In going out and on wandering through the wilderness, he began to see that he is actually Abraham, so his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Abraham stands for the father of multitude, and you can see right away the creative sense that he is the beginning, the seed that will bring forth the seed within itself, the creative seed out of which the whole nation of Israel will finally come forth. So it's the creative father that now identifies himself that way, and Mrs. Eddy also defines him as the life-preserving power of spiritual understanding. Can you see the spiritual understanding soul as a life-preserving power, mind, soul as mind? So that if we see our true identity, as Abraham began to see, he can become the seed within itself, the really soul that brings forth with creative power the multitude of ideas. Into that period also falls the belief that his wife, his ideal, a wife was always the ideal, that his ideal, namely Sarai, was barren. And then you know how God appeared to Abraham and to Sarai and told them that they would be fruitful. That belief that there is no creative ability in spiritual sense has been disproved, and they were bringing forth Isaac. So again we can see we only are productive really when we adopt our true identity. Sarai was then called Sarah, and again you have the renaming, the true naming, the spiritual naming. And so when Abram and Abraham, when Sarai and Sarah found their true identity with a spiritual identity, then it didn't matter anymore what corporeality would say, that they are too old to have a son, that then spiritual sense as mind is always productive. The moment we draw back from the mortal sense of things and consider the spiritual sense of things, always the angel will appear and will tell us that we are fruitful, that there is a creative ability within us, and that we can create or bring forth a new idea. So here we have the first step of soul as mind, as that creative ability of spiritual sense. Then we come to a further standpoint of soul as spirit. Soul as spirit. It is that period where then Isaac's son, Jacob, was named Israel, the fighter for God, the warrior for God, that was warring with strength of God, and he was struggling with Esau at Peniel. That is, he was struggling with himself until an angel appeared. And he underwent a terrific transformation by identifying now correctly Esau, his enemy. Can you see it's at the point of where soul, a spirit, knows no enemy. Where soul always identifies rightly and never can identify wrongly somebody as an enemy or an opponent or an accuser or anything like that. He was struggling with himself, with that angel at Peniel, until he could see Esau as if he would see the face of God. Face, we always have seen, is a symbol for identity, until he began to see Esau also in its true light and identified him with God as the face of God. And that settled that whole question, that struggle was over, and they became friends. So at that point, you see, can you see what was the story with Abraham and Sarah? It was a question that we can identify truly what is creative power. That only when we draw it back to our spiritual sense and do not listen to the testimony of the corporeal senses, what the bodily situation, what the material situation tells us, that only then can we actually be creative. Then really the angel comes and always tells us that we will be fruitful. Another proposition is then with soul as spirit, where you have to solve the belief that there is an opponent, that there is an enemy, that there is an accuser. And so with that illustration of Jacob struggling with the angel and identifying Esau properly, he began to resolve his dualistic sense of things. So he renamed really the dualism in transforming it into the monism of being, so that he saw what appeared to the senses as an enemy appeared actually as a friend, as the face of God. Then a further period sets in, which had to do with the seed within itself in a higher sense, namely the period of soul as soul. What was that period? It's the period that was introduced through Moses. He played afterwards a great part in the history of the Jewish people. And he, as a prototype of the Christ, the first prototype of the Christ, really introduced soul as soul. And you remember, in the days of creation, at that point, at soul as soul, we had to change from the Word as the Word to the Word as the Christ. And here too, we have that transition now, or that new period coming in, where for the first time the Christ appeared in the form of Moses as a prototype. What was his office, his job, his place in that way from sense to soul? The very first big act that we know about Moses is that he went up to Mount Horeb and that he saw, namely that God revealed himself as what? As the I Am that I Am. This was the new name This was the name that he should bring down to Egypt, that he should bring down to animal magnetism and to handle animal magnetism with that great sense of God, that God is what he is, that God is what he always was, namely as that which he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he always will be what he is, namely that he's going to fulfill the promise that he had given to Abraham, that he's going to lead, actually, the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. So he had a terrific insight into the nature of being as being actually unchangeable. Because up to that point, the Israelites naturally had the feeling that they had a promise, but that God actually didn't fulfill the promise. They were always crying to God and saying, now when is it going to happen? Are you still sleeping up on Mount Horeb, or are you now awake and are going to do something, or what is happening? So at that point, the change came where really Moses began to see something, that the promise is not in the future, that being is right now, it's the I am that I am, and that we have to accept that vision of God so that we are not constantly looking into the future for its fulfillment. Therefore, with that consciousness of the new definition of God, he was identifying God correctly. With that new definition of God, he really went down into Egypt and handled animal magnetism. You know the story of the seven plagues. Again, he handled animal magnetism through seven, namely to its fullest sense. Just as we have seen, the second record of creation needs seven steps until finally error falls back into itself and destroys itself. Moses going down into Egypt and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had to handle all those claims. So he began to handle witchcraft of the priests in Egypt and sin, and also some kind of a resistance of the Jewish people to really get out of Egypt and to go forward. So Moses brings the children of Israel out of what? Out of bondage. Well, what is bondage? The very opposite of the freedom of soul. Out of bondage, out of limitation. And so he brought them into the freedom of soul. But he had to bring them really through the Red Sea, through the desert for 40 years, through the wilderness 40 years, until he came to Jordan. To Jordan. And from there, Joshua had to bring the children of Israel over to the promised land. Moses himself, as you know, did not go over Jordan, but died before. But he, through those 40 years in the wilderness, purified really the thought of the children of Israel and educated them step by step. They would go after strange gods again, can you see, to drop from the true identity to idols, and he had to bring them back through great discipline. And in order to do that, he had to use soul as principle. He had to principle or to discipline the children of Israel. So we come really at that point to the tone of soul as principle. And we have seen in the days of creation that at the point of soul as principle, the days of creation show, or at least Mrs. Eddy shows, that ideas have gender, that they have sort or kind, that they have classification, and that is exactly what Moses began to see. that in order really that the children of Israel did not go right and left to other gods and foreign gods and strange gods, he had to bring them into the straight and narrow of the commandments. So the commandments was really that where he categorized the teaching into the Ten Commandments. He himself didn't call them Ten Commandments. That was later biblical interpretation. But we know that he had two tablets, so he actually categorized the ideas that were necessary for the children of Israel to be disciplined into two big categories. On one tablet, it was a big category of the relationship of God and man. On the other tablet were all those commandments which regulated the relationship of man to man. So there again we could see that with the commandments he established a set of rules so as to bring really Israel into the straight and narrow of a system, somehow of a system, and showed what are the true relationship of God, of man to God, God to man to man, by giving laws, moral rules, and moral codes. Even that was not enough. It was a beginning, so to say, of giving to all the ideas gender. But soon afterwards he found out that this is not enough, that he must give them a further sense of system. And the first sense of system, and he did it through the symbolism of the tabernacle. He gave very strict advices how to build the tabernacle, about every little part of the tabernacle, about what is in the tabernacle, and naturally all these things had spiritual signification. They all can be translated today into the categories of metaphysics as we know them. And so he, for the first time through the tabernacle, identified God, soul, through some kind of a system, principle. And that is then the tone that goes right on, because the tabernacle stayed with the children of Israel until they were building the temple in Jerusalem. We go on and come to soul as life. What does life mean? Well, life was that really they could enter the promised land, that really they found finally what has been promised to them, the end of the promise. So Joshua was leading the children of Israel over Jordan. If we read the book of Joshua, it's a beautiful, beautiful explanation of 7x7, just showing the consciousness that is necessary in order to come out from the old and go over the border, over the limitations of mortal mind, into the free land, into their identity, into that country which really belonged to them because it was promised to them. When they entered, we still have the book of Judges, and the book of Judges again is a terrific book. It shows that you just can't just enter and take the inheritance that is promised to you, that you have to work your way to it. And Judges shows again in the 7x7 layout how he could handle all the opponents in the land of Canaan. So Judges is one great depicting how through the 7x7 we can handle the opposite of the 7x7. They had to take inheritance of that land by ousting out the other nations and subduing the other people therein, just as I do today, and shows symbolically that we can only take possession of our true identity if we are willing to lay down a mortal sense of our identity. Those two books, like Joshua and Judges, are just beautiful in their metaphysical interpretation, and shows this very passage from sense to soul, from the wilderness over the Jordan into the promised land. That's the passage from sense to soul again, just as they came out from Egypt through the Red Sea into the wilderness, not yet finding their true possession, but still getting rid of the material belief of Egypt and finding their way through the wilderness to the Jordan, until finally in the promised land they could find a resurrected sense of their national identity. They really found their land. And so they got rid of the burden of Egypt and the bitterness of the wilderness. Because that way from sense to soul seems for the human always to be a great burden, the burden of Egypt they were always talking about. It always seems to the human a way that is bitter and has the bitterness of the wilderness experience within itself. So that, by the story of the Judges, ends that thousand-year period, and something completely new came into the center of their endeavors.